Shalom, and welcome to the Lord's house as we share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, today's message.
How can this happen? If you're familiar with the story, you know how Abraham went out and tried to make it happen on his own, and that wasn't the way that God intended it to be. But then the day happened that in their old age, his wife Sarah gave birth to a son. His name was Isaac, and God, through him, did perform the blessing that he had told and promised Abraham. Abraham, I'm going to bless you. And today we look around and we see the blessings that God bestowed through Abraham, even down into our generation today. That group of people that God blessed and created through Abraham, we find them years later. They've spent some time in Egypt, under bondage part of that time, and they're now on their way to the land that God has promised them. The land that God promised their father Abraham. And in Numbers chapter 6, verse 22 through 27, we read of a blessing. And it says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, On this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto them. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put thy name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them." And that blessing continues down through us today as children of God, as born-again believers, those who've accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. God has blessed us. God is blessing us today. And as we talked about earlier, some of the blessings that God has bestowed upon us and the promises that God has made to us. He said, "The Lord will bless thee. The Lord will keep thee." How many of you has the Lord kept? If you stop to think about it, every last one of us, at some point, God has kept you from something. There have been times in your life had not the hand of God intervened. And I know we can say, well, this happened or that happened that did it. But the hand of God intervened, and you are here today because of the blessing that God bestowed. We were talking this morning at home about a house that we used to live in, and how our kids, when they were young, they climbed up on the counter, and it's debatable as to which one of them grabbed the cabinet, and they disagree, I think, as to which one did it. Katrina was probably about 2 years old, and anyway, that cabinet came falling down off the wall and hit the counter, tipped forward and slammed into the refrigerator, and it kept it from falling on the way down, and Katrina was underneath it, 2 years old. Big metal cabinet, dishes falling everywhere, and she came out of it unscathed. If it had fallen on her, it would have killed her. But God intervened. I believe the hand of God intervened. And that's just one example. And all of us can look around as examples that God has set in our lives where the hand of God has intervened in our life and kept us and blessed us. And we are here today and we are where we're at today because of the hand of God. "I'll make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee." God's been gracious to us. He has blessed us. He has shined his face upon us. He has worked in our life. He has moved in our behalf. He has done things for us that we are blessed. Oh, the hand of God upon us. We are so blessed. Gives us peace. We're living in a world right now that's full of turmoil. Every day we hear someone speaking about the possibility of World War III being at any time. Some even saying we've actually already begun World War III. It's just not like the previous ones where bombs were dropped and things like that are taking place. But we're beginning to start into it. I don't really know what phase we're at in it. But the world is not at peace. But as a child of God, as a born-again believer, you can have peace in your heart and in your spirit. You see, if they were to come and blow up this place today, I have peace in knowing that I'm going to be in the presence of God. I don't have to worry about what's going to happen to me should some event like that take place, because I'm God's child and He is going to take care of me. And no matter how the situation goes, I still come out the winner because I'm God's child and I am blessed. He has blessed me. He's put His name upon us. Back in the Old Testament, they were called the children of Israel. They were called the Hebrews. They were called the Jews. They were God's chosen people. And today, those of us that use the name Christian, we are identifying with Jesus Christ. And we are saying that we are part of God's family. We are, in essence, by using that name Christian, putting His name upon us and saying, I believe in God. Now, I got to say right off the bat that not everybody that says they're a Christian is really a born-again child of God. There's a lot of people out there that say they're a Christian and they've never darkened the door of a church. They've never read the Bible. They've never done any of the things that a Christian should be doing. They've never given their life to Jesus Christ. Because it's easy to say, I'm a Christian. Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. I mean, I was born in America. I'm a Christian. I got news for you. Being born in America doesn't make you a Christian. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian. Reading the Bible doesn't make you a Christian. The only thing that makes you a Christian is when you get down and say, Jesus, I thank You that You died on the cross for my sins, and I invite You to come into my heart. I surrender my life to You. I turn my being over to You. Come into my heart and into my life and be my Lord and Savior. And that's what makes you a Christian. Nothing else does. We put His name upon us. God has promises to us who obey Him. In Exodus chapter 23, verses 23 and 25, it says, For mine angel shall go before thee, and bring thee in unto the Amorites, and the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. And thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works. But thou shalt utterly overthrow them, and quite break down their images. And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and He will bless thy bread and thy water, and will take away sickness away from the midst of thee. Being obedient to God, He will bless us if we are obedient to Him. And as we read some of the things it says here, it talks about these other groups of people, and it says, Thou shalt not bow down to their gods. And how many gods are people bowing down to today? Stop to think about it. We look back and we kind of maybe even, some people kind of maybe even smirk, oh, these people, they had a god that was made out of stone and he looked like this or she looked like this. And, you know, it's kind of how ridiculous to do that. And yet we find some of these same people go out and they will bow down to the gods of man, the gods of celebrity worship. There are some people who'd rather worship some celebrity in Hollywood than worship the God, the King, the Creator of the universe. And I look at it sometimes, and I see some of the people that you see on television in these so-called reality shows, and I thought, why in the world would people even care about whether or not this person sneezed? Oh, but they're a celebrity. And if they were to walk in into the room, they'd probably bow down at their feet. Oh. But I worship the God of the universe, the Creator of all things, and He has promised to bless me if I will be obedient to Him. He's blessing me. Haggai chapter 2, verse 19 says, And the seed yet in the barn, yea, as yet the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree hath not brought forth, from this day I will bless thee. Doesn't matter what the circumstances out there, God has said He's going to bless thee. Sometimes you may look at the groceries on your shelf in your pantry and say, There's nothing in there but a can of beans, but God has said, I'm going to bless you. And I remember when I was in the military and my wife and I were living in Germany. We got paid once a month. I don't know how they get paid today, but back then we got paid once a month. And we had to make that money stretch for the entire month. And well, I think we were living on like $300 a month or something like that. Not much more than that anyway. We had to buy everything that we had to buy, pay all of our expenses that we had to pay. And sometimes we got down to the end of the month and it was basically maybe some spaghetti. I'll tell you, we learned to like pasta because it was cheap and easy to fix. And we survived on that sometimes. Maybe it was that proverbial can of beans that was left on the shelf there. But God provided. We went out to get an ice cream, and we had to share the ice cream cone because we couldn't afford two of them. But God still blessed us. And I never doubted that God was blessing me. I was blessed. He's provided my needs. He's provided, even though it looked like at times there was no way, God blessed. In chapter 2, verse 2 of Haggai, it says, speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying. And here he's talking about a group of people that have been taken captive. They've been taken into a strange land. They've been taken away from everything they really knew. And he's talking about hope and the restoration that is going to take place. He's giving them a message of hope because God has promised to them. And God has promised to us today as Christians. Malachi 3, verse 7 says, even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. We look around today. Look at the church today. How much of the church is really beginning to drift away from the things of God? Some churches are more like being in a nightclub than being in a church. We're drifting away from the things of God. But here's what he says. He says, return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. Return unto him. If we return to God, God will bless us. And some of you might say, well, no, I'm serving God and I'm doing everything I can to be what God wants me to be in all of this. And I've got all these problems. Anybody here not got any problems? I tell you, if I'd have seen a hand go up, I'd have given an altar call right then. Because every last one of us has got problems. Every last one of us has things that we have to face on a daily basis. With some, it might be finances. With some, it might be sickness. Other things that come into our lives. At some, it might be the job that you have to go to that's driving you nuts and up the wall. You know, but we have problems that we face. But God still blesses us. God still blesses us. And I'll tell you, in today's age, the fact you've even got a job is a blessing. God blesses us. And if God is not blessing, then you better examine, in fact, and see where you're standing with him and read that, return unto me and I will return unto you part. Because God is blessing. I don't care if you wake up on the wrong side of the tracks and you're living in a shanty down by the railroad track, as they used to say, and all of these things. If you've got the peace of God in your heart, you are blessed. I wake up in the morning knowing where I'm going. Maybe I don't know where I'm going physically that day. Maybe I don't know if I'm going to Franklin or if I'm going to Columbia or if I'm staying home. I might not know that. But I know in the long run, in the long haul, I know where I'm going. And I have peace in my heart because of that. And there are people who wake up and they live in terror and fear throughout the day because they have no idea. Should something happen to them, where they're going. Really, probably down in the back of their mind they do, but they don't want to admit that. God has promised us He would bless us. Return unto me, and I will return unto you. Speaking to His people who rebelled against Him because of Malachi 3:1, He says, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to His temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in, because he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts." Here He's talking about a messenger that is to come. He's talking about someone that's going to prepare the way. He's talking about the Lord who shall come. And some texts or some commentaries in the scripture say that here Malachi is referring to John the Baptist, and the birth of Jesus Christ is going to take place. And those events have taken place. John the Baptist has come and gone. Jesus has been here. He's been crucified. He's been buried. He's been raised from the dead. He's ascended back into the Father's, into the house of the Father. But the day is coming that He will come again. The day is coming that He will come for His children, for those that are adopted into the family of God. He is coming. And we are blessed in that. Now, if you're not serving God, and you've not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've got a Father as well. And I got news, He's coming for you too. But not in the same way. But one of these days, He's going to come to collect. And I don't care what some people want to think. Now, we were talking this morning, just before church even, about some people who believe that the soul sleep, that when you die, you know nothing until you stand before God in judgment. And that if you're either admitted into heaven, or zap, your soul is annihilated. And there are some people who believe that. That's not what God's Word has to say. That's not in the Bible. And it's not going to turn out that way. The Bible says that one day we're going to stand before God. If we're His child, we're going to be entering into His kingdom. And the other one says, if you're not a child of God, if you've not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're going to stand before Him and He's going to say, "I don't know who you are. I never knew you." We're blessed because the God of the universe, the Creator of all things, loves us. Think about that. You think about the love, parents, you think about the love that you have for your children. And you think about those that are grandparents, the love you have for your grandchildren. Love that you have for one another. But think about it. You are loved by the Creator of all things. Wow. God loves me. You can't get any better than that. When God loves me, that is the ultimate love. And the Bible tells us that He loved us so much that He did send His Son, Jesus. The one whose birthday we're celebrating in just a few days as we celebrate Christmas, who came and was born as a baby in Bethlehem, one who grew into manhood, one who preached for approximately 3 years, one who was put to death on a cross on Calvary's Hill, one who on the third day rose from the dead, one who 40 days later ascended into the heavens to the right hand of God and sits there right now. And on these days, He's coming back to gather us home. He said, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if it were not true, I would have told you." He's coming for us because, not just because He likes us, but because He loves us. I don't care what circumstance you're in today, whether you're living in a mansion or a mud hut somewhere. I don't care if you got up and had the finest foods there were to offer for breakfast this morning, or whether you're eating a bowl of rice, or maybe nothing at all. But if you're a child of God, God loves you. And He's coming for you. And He's going to bless you beyond anything you can imagine. We talk about, and we hear people preaching about blessings here. But blessings here are only temporal. They only last for a season. They're not going to load them into the casket with us as they lower us into the ground somewhere. They'll be gone at that point. But the blessings that we have, the promises we have from God that are eternal, those are the ones I'm hanging on to. Those are the ones I'm looking forward to. Those are the blessings I want in my life. And I have them because I'm a child of God. And if you're listening to me today by the internet or by CD or whatever means, and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you should invite Him into your heart today. You want to be blessed? You want to have the things of God? You want to be a part of God's kingdom? Invite Jesus Christ into your heart. Surrender your life to Him. And say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Maybe I'm not a bad person even, and I don't do a lot of bad things, but I still need Jesus. Come into my heart. And maybe you're a person that says, I've done a lot of terrible things in my life, and I know I need Jesus. He'll come into your heart when you invite Him in. And you surrender your life and say, here I am, Lord. Jesus, take over. You are now my Lord, my Master, my Savior. And the fullness of God's promises will be in your life. The fullness of them. Father, I thank You now for the blessings that You bestowed. I thank You for the promises that You have given us, for what You've done in our lives. And I pray, Father, that You would touch hearts and lives today, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
You have been listening to a message from the Lord's House. If this ministry has blessed you, please let us know. You may email us at pastor@tlhf.us. Or you may write us at the Lord's House Fellowship, P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Or if you would like to attend a service at the Lord's House, we are located at 1131 Maple Ash Avenue, Columbia, Tennessee. And until next time, Shalom.